You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
Matthews closing! Scores! Holy mackerel, what a shot!
There's no better feeling than now you got to deliver.
Oh my! What a glove save by Anderson!
When the pucks drop, you got to look the guy in the eye and you got
to
beat him.
Back to the point, Riley steps into it and scores!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Here we go. We've been waiting 12 months for this opportunity tonight to tee up a Game 7 as if it was ever up for debate. Maple Leafs Bruins tonight, I am looking forward to it.
We all
are. Let me ask you, as the broadcaster radio host, the stupid question that we brought up yesterday. Last year when that game was over, if I said to you, would you take a Game 7 again next year, what would your answer be?
I would say...
with John Tavares, with Jake Muzzin,
yeah,
with Austin Matthews on fire, would you take a Game 7 back in Boston? And that's how the playoffs would go for the Leafs this year.
Every day of the week. Because I think it is symbolic tonight. Like, beating the Boston Bruins, if the Maple Leafs can achieve that tonight,
right,
especially in Game 7, especially in their building. Like, if one detail flipped, if this was at Scotiabank tonight, I think it would feel so different. It would still be incredibly meaningful. I mean, if they win tonight, it's the most meaningful playoff series I think they've won since 2002 when they got to a conference final against Carolina. More so than winning rounds in 2003, 2004. This is the most important game in a long time. Like, even last year clearly was important, but now what you just added to the mix, John Tavares is here, Jake Muzzin's here, everyone's getting paid, you're a year older, you feel good about yourself. This series has felt different than it did a year ago. Back in 2013, they were huge underdogs. They simply were not good enough to beat Boston, regardless of, you know, the context.
Right. How
regardless
it
of being up 4-1, when you really allow the dust to settle, you probably sat there and said, yeah, Boston's a better team.
Yeah.
And Boston used that as a catapult all the way to a cup final in 2013. This feels different. It feels like a better opportunity. I think they're a better team on paper. I think they played better throughout this round. And I think the idea of going into that building, winning tonight,
it's tough to do. I mean, three road games. Like that, if they win tonight, that's three in their building they've won. And they're going to, you know, have to do it. I mean, you've got the Seersucker out. I'm shocked I didn't see what I...
I'm so disappointed in you.
I thought I was going to see what I was going to see.
No, I had to go against it. I looked at it, I stared at it, and I said, no, it's up to the players to do it. I'm not a player anymore. I'm not a part of this decision-making process.
I thought about that, too, and here's why. You never wanted
you
to
You got
lose.
The Seersucker.
I told you I was going to bring it out again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wore it on Friday for the first time, and the Toronto sports teams went 6-0. The rugby team won a game.
Yeah,
with me wearing this jacket. The Leafs won, the Raptors, the Blue Jays, TFC.
Now, you don't want it to go opposite George, where the Raptors lose and the Leafs lose, and then you're 1-1. So I think that's what he did. He was like, I don't want the tradition of my alumni coat to take
you
a hit.
You wore the Seersucker Friday. I didn't have the alumni jacket.
There you
that's
go.
The difference.
Good point. No, I'll wear this with pride.
Should.
For starters, it's a great-looking jacket.
It is.
I feel good. I look good.
You look quite lean in it. I will say that. It leans you out a little
bit.
Yeah,
I think you're right. You well, it's so bright in here.
But it's form-fitting. That's why. It leans you out.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm feeling it, man.
How's the nerve level? How's the energy?
I got to be honest, I have not had a great day today.
Really?
Yesterday, remember we were talking about Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And Kawhi had his flu game in Game 3 where he wasn't feeling well and he didn't tell anybody. I haven't been feeling so well all day. But I'm not strong enough to bury that lead. I have to complain
that.
And I have to tell people I haven't been feeling well. This is my flu game, the fact that I'm here. This is Game 5, 97 NBA Finals, Michael Jordan.
Wow.
This is slightly more impressive than Jordan even playing in that game.
Okay, how about tradition, though? Doesn't usually big things in Toronto happen when you stay home?
Absolutely.
So maybe that was the hockey gods going, here, we're going to touch you with a little flu, stay home, and then they move on.
I couldn't do it. I knew I would never be able to live this moment down. Can you imagine if I was here right now? Yeah. Can you imagine if I wasn't here teeing
no
up Game 7?
No AZB, no seersucker, no nothing.
It would just not feel right.
It would be a man with a mustache right there.
The tap man would have been
getting
called in.
Probably would have had to ask him to double down.
Well, speaking of mustaches, do you want to hear Dennis Eckersley pandering to his home crowd? Because the Red Sox are playing a doubleheader, and I guess it's getting rained out. And there was a delay, so naturally they got on to what the big story in the city is tonight
right
down in Boston, and it's Leafs Bruins. And I don't know who the play-by-play guy was, but they were spotting guys at Fenway. There's a bunch of people in Bruins gear down at Fenway, and they got into the game tonight. Do you want to hear what what your boy Eckersley had to say?
My boy.
That's your guy.
Game 7. Which way are you leaning? How do you feel?
Oh, you got to feel good about the Bruins. Something about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They just can't get it done.
That's enough, Eckersley.
Yeah. Why would you say pizzas to Robbie Alomar in Oakland?
Why would you say
I have an idea.
Yeah. Here's my response to Dennis Eckersley. Stay in your lane,
yeah,
or else we're going to have to play this 15 different times this afternoon.
I mean, have an idea.
Have an idea.
Have an idea.
You know what? With that greasy mullet he's got, he might go in the salad rebuild. It's a greasy mullet. It's a comb-over feather. He's in the salad rebuild.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the Elmar bomb just to kind of get him back a little bit?
Sure. Hey, this one, that. Eck.
Inside pitches, he doesn't even flinch on. And they're trying to trick him. And a drive hit to right field. Sierra going back, looking up, and this game is tied. Roberto Alomar.
How you feel about that, Eckersley?
I mean, have an idea.
Have an idea. Stay in your lane.
Done. You can't get it done, Eckersley.
I know you're pandering to your home crowd. Listen, we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
I think the Bruins are going to feel pretty confident. Chara, Rask, Krejci, Bergeron, Marchand, they've been there in 2013. They were there last year. They've been on cup-winning teams, on cup-contending teams. Leafs sound like they're pretty relaxed, too, this morning.
And they should be. It's been a great series. To me, it's still a coin flip. And you can, I don't know if the right wording here is rewrite history, but you can move forward. And, you know, you and I were talking off air. There's teams that are dropping like flies that we thought were going to be moving on. Nashville's another casualty last night. So, you know, this is why you're playing the games. This is why you get a chance to get into the playoffs, and anything can happen. And I don't know if I've ever seen a playoff like this, where, I mean, this many technically on paper underdogs. Now, I don't think the Leafs were, if anything, much of an underdog. I think it was, we all agree, it was a coin flip going in. Just the experience.
Yeah, Boston was a slight favorite.
Slight.
And they deserved to be a slight favorite.
But it wasn't.
It's not Columbus, Tampa.
It wasn't 90-10 or 95-10. No. It was 53-47. That type of stuff, 55-45. But
well, and that's what I wonder about, you know, what is going to be running through the minds of both teams tonight. Now, once the game starts, you're focused on the hockey game, but it almost feels like a trap game in a weird way because of the path that is available to you here. You've got Columbus in the next round. There's a chance it's either the Islanders or Carolina in the conference final. Now, I think Washington's going to get back and win it, but they're going to Game 7.
Yeah.
Like, who's to say Peter Mrazek doesn't stand on his head and your boy, Mr. Game 7, doesn't show up like he always does and Justin Williams doesn't pot 2 or 3? So if you're the Leafs or the Bruins, you're like, let me get this straight. Columbus in the next round, and then maybe the Islanders, and who, Dallas in the Cup Final?
Yeah.
St. Louis? Who's going to be there?
Win this game, and then possibly face
I would say be careful, though, because that's exactly obviously what teams are looking at that and going, yeah, you know what, like, let's...
Human nature, though, I'm just saying. Human nature to say, okay, we're feeling okay about where we're at all of a sudden.
And that's what Tampa did, and Columbus rinsed them in 4. And the Pittsburgh said, yeah, we got the Islanders and Robin Leonard. And Robin Leonard's put up miraculous numbers. You know, I get it because it is human nature, but there's a reason why these teams have moved on, all of them. Like, they've had that killer instinct, that desperation. Carolina played like their hair was on fire last night, and it was. I mean, they were
awesome.
They were awesome, and Washington couldn't get shots on goal. They were up, actually, which was crazy.
They're up 2-1.
But they were being outshot, I think, at 1.21-8. But they were up 2-1.
Well, I mean, the story last night was Alex Ovechkin, who wasn't happy about his goal being called back. And
that goal should have been called back.
Yeah, I thought Mrazek had the puck, and he stabbed at him, and it went in.
Yeah.
You know, I have no problem with them calling that back, but, you know, like any other review, it's going to be subjective, and everyone's going to be biased. If you're a Caps fan, you think it was garbage. If you're a Carolina fan, you thought it was the greatest call of all time. But, yeah, you know, I was thinking about Ovi last night when I'm watching him perform, how, and this applies to what we're talking about tonight, specifically with the Maple Leafs. You get that ring, and everything changes. Because if Ovechkin did what he did last night, melting down, clapping like a clown,
they would say he never keeps his composure, can't win in a big game.
If he didn't have that cup ring, people would be carving him.
Now he's showing emotion, he's going to be jacked up for the next one.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you get that cup ring, and it's like, no, that's Ovi. He's just a playoff warrior.
Yeah.
That's how the narrative can change on a dime.
It does, and you're right. And he went out and earned that, and he earned that right.
Won a Conn Smythe. Conn Smythe in a ring.
And at 33 years old, he's still scoring goals and being a dominant physical force.
God, he scored a nice one last night.
A beauty. He's so good. Absolute beauty. But that's the playoffs, as disappointing as it has been for some fan bases, it's been pretty good hockey. Like that Nashville game was a dog for about half of it. And then all of a sudden, the pace just jacked up. And there were some great goaltending, some good chances. And I know it's not the sexiest matchup on paper, but like St. Louis, the way that they've played since January, like I personally think I slept on them a little bit because I kept thinking, okay, is the clock going to strike midnight on Bennington? You know, or is this team going to come back to earth? And in watching them dismantle Winnipeg, like defensively, there was a time where I think Blake Wheeler had speed through the neutral zone in that last game. There were five guys on him. He couldn't go anywhere. And you know, Berube deserves a lot of credit. Like there's still some good teams, but it's you're right. Human nature is going to look at it and go, they're not the sexiest teams on paper.
No, they're not. I mean, that, and we'll wait to see what happens tonight because if the Maple Leafs are still playing, then this town, it won't matter, you know, really throughout the country, because the Leafs are the most polarizing team in the country, and the amount of hate watching that will be happening tonight will be epic, because we did that bit last week where
everybody jump on the Leafs train.
Well, I want to clarify, because I don't know if I did a good enough job in that. I've always thought that's the dumbest idea of all time.
Yeah, and you, Why would you clarify that? You said, I've got a chip to play because
I want to see.
And you never do it. You don't jump on Montreal. You don't start cheering for Montreal.
Or Vancouver.
I think it's the dumbest
Calgary
thing ever.
Whoever else.
Why would you root for a team that you're not invested in, that's not your favorite team, because of geography? It's so stupid.
Yeah.
The point I was making last week is, it's always been promoted by people.
Right.
It's always been, like, the prime minister all the time. Sure, Harper did it. I know Trudeau does it. Yeah. But you got to get on the bandwagon. Now, I haven't seen him on Twitter. I don't see him saying, go Leafs, go tonight.
Yeah, those guys need votes. But, I mean, but the fans don't need votes.
Fans don't need votes. But, you know, the point I was making was it always would come up with the other teams. Yeah. That promotion that you should jump on their bandwagon because they happen to play in this country.
They're a likable team or whatever.
I've always thought it's stupid, and I still think it's stupid. I don't think anyone should cheer for the Leafs if you're a Habs fan or if you're an Oilers fan or something like that. But people are going to hate watch Toronto. Well, you either love or you hate. They're the most fascinating team in the country because of the coverage, because everyone knows every detail.
Here's my biggest worry for tonight, and I don't want to be right on this. There's going to be a goalie interference call tonight.
On who?
Who knows? Got one the other day, which I thought should have been called back.
The Hyman one?
They deserved to win the game. I won't even argue that. But they got one. If one goes against them.
I'll tell you what, there better not be any slew foots, because last night there was a slew foot called in that Carolina game.
Yep.
And in the Dallas-Nashville game, there was a call on Blake Homo with a minute left. He wasn't even looking at the guy. He bumped into him, and he got called for a slew foot, and that could have cost him the hockey game.
I agree.
So Bruce Cassidy's called for it. So don't even think about it. Don't even go near anybody.
He's called it publicly. You don't think Mike Babcock has called for something privately?
They've gone.
You don't think they've sent that Chara elbow on Muzzin to Gary Bettman's personal email account and said, if that happens again and he doesn't get called, you're going to have a problem with
it? It's both sides.
It goes both
posturing.
Sides. Just
that
about
type
going
of stuff,
public.
You're right. That type of stuff is happening on both sides. My biggest worry, and it comes back, and I've always been a proponent of getting it right. And that's why I liked video replay. I liked all that stuff. I'm starting to get more and more frustrated with the video replay. And
because they don't get it right.
Well,
it's still in the eye of the beholder.
It's subjective, right?
Like, you think that should have been called goaltender interference. It wasn't.
Right.
It was goalie interference. But
I didn't think it should have been. I thought it was 50-50. Right. I didn't know which way it was going to go.
But the league called it that way. So you're like, okay, you accept it. Like
right. I thought Marshawn was offside.
Yeah, he was.
I thought he was, but they didn't call that. But so it goes both ways.
Just rewind for me. How did you think that was 50-50 on goalie interference? That is the exact... they could show that on a clip to the players at the beginning of the season. He cross-checked a guy, backed into the goaltender, and he couldn't move. What else is goalie interference?
Well,
it doesn't matter.
Why are we rehashing this?
I don't want to.
It doesn't matter. I thought he was outside of the crease, and I thought Rast, you know, it was going in anyway, quite frankly. That's why I think the rule is so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if it was going in, it's just like the Winnipeg, when he knocks the moorings off, it's going in anyway. He wasn't stopping that with or without
Hyman. Well, here's the thing, though, I would say. We don't know it was going in anyway. That's because if Rask gets a look at it...
I feel pretty good about it.
But Matthews hit the middle of the net. Like it
yeah,
wasn't
with a
like
bullet.
I know, but what I'm saying is if Rask doesn't take a second to look around, I'm not defending it.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. Talking about last Friday? It doesn't
All I'm
really
saying
matter,
is but. What worries me for tonight is something like that. Because
which speaks to the stupidity of these rules.
I
the
get
fact
it.
That
I'll go nuts tomorrow if something is decided on it.
No, I won't.
We will because
both ways.
If there's an overtime and there's a game-winning goal and it goes to video,
I think it'll be a joke.
I agree.
Both teams.
I agree. And
I hate the review.
That's
process.
Why I brought it up because Ryan, you've been a proponent.
Yeah, it's not a Leaf thing or anything. I hate it. Period.
Let the refs ref the game and either make a mistake, a human mistake, or not. I've been a proponent of the other side of just get the call right. But this one is very concerning because it's still subjective. And that's where I think I'm starting to agree with.
And even the offside thing. Marshawn, it didn't matter. Like, right. Marshawn was slightly... it didn't matter.
No,
like,
I think...
didn't have a bearing on the play if he's a centimeter offside.
And this could be... I think this is a debate for us to have in late June when hockey's over. I still believe the league will migrate to the plane of the...
right.
Blue line. That way we're not looking, okay, 1 inch, and you're trying
right.
to squeeze a piece of paper under the blade.
Which is so dumb.
It is.
But, like, Krejci scored the goal, and Pastrnak made the play. Marshawn, even if he was onside, it didn't matter.
He's long gone. He's
so
not even part of the play.
So stupid that way, too.
I agree. I think that's more of a conversation when the dust is settled on the playoffs. Or, you know, hey, what can you get better?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just starting to, like, the trend is a little bit concerning. That's my thing. It, you know, we've seen narratives throughout the playoffs. It was puck over glass. How many did we have that one year where we it was?
Which I don't have a problem with that rule.
That's a great rule.
I don't have a problem.
I agree.
It's black or white.
Saying,
you put it over the net or over the
But there
glass,
always
you,
seems to
so
be
it.
One narrative in the playoffs. I'm concerned, and I want to get through Game 7 with the players deciding it. And not on something that we've got to go, this is subjective, and everyone's yelling and screaming about it. That's the only thing. That's my hope for tonight. And
I hope we're going to see some great hockey. I totally agree. Do I have faith that the refs and this review process will not show their ugly heads? No, I don't have a ton of faith in that. You know, I think there's probably a good chance something's going to get challenged.
Wow.
And once it gets challenged, then it's like, all right, let's see what these guys decide.
I agree.
Because you never really know.
I don't know if it builds for great theater or not.
No, it sucks the life out of everything. Like, both goals, that's what I'm saying about Friday night, both ways.
Yeah.
Because the Bruins are beefing about the Hyman interference. The Leafs are beefing about the Marchand offside.
Yeah.
But both of them, you're like, well, did we get it right? Did we not? And then it's a waste of 10 minutes, and you're like, there's no life in the building anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it just sucks the life out of the building.
Yep, I agree.
It's dumb, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the rules are the rules, and they're going to apply tonight.
Yep,
in Boston and in San Jose, we got two game sevens tonight.
I think it'll be great. We'll be here late, and there'll be a lot of nerves flying around. But I think it's going to be good hockey.
Yeah, it's a spicy meatball out in San Jose with the two head coaches going at it. You guys hear about this?
Well, I missed it. So I've just been reading up on it.
All I heard was one of them calling each other a clown.
Well, here's what happened. Peter DeBoer effectively accused Gerard Gallant of chirping his players during the game.
Right.
Which is It's not illegal, but it shouldn't happen.
Yeah,
right? There have been coaches throughout history that have chirped the other bench. It happens. Not the end of the world, but DeBoer said it to a newspaper guy, and obviously Gallant got word of it, and Logan Couture was quoted in the piece as well, saying, yeah, I heard him, you know, but it's not my thing, whatever, I'm not going to do it. But Couture effectively corroborated what DeBoer was saying.
Yeah.
And Gerard Gallant was asked about that accusation at his presser about an hour ago. You guys want to hear his response?
Can't wait.
I really don't want to talk about that, but I think I'm going to have to a little bit because, you know, for that clown to say that in the paper yesterday, it's not right. There might have been two incidents that happened, and I'll tell you both of the incidents. Logan Couture, I thought it was an embellishment, so I'm yelling at the referee. I'm not yelling at Logan Couture. The other one, game two, Evander Kane's yelling at Ryan Reed between the bench. And Evander yells at me, he said, hey, coach, when are you going to send your big guy out in the ice and play him more than 4 minutes? And I said, he's played 10 minutes every game, and he's going to play a lot more. So them are the two times. If I'm going to be a chirper and a loudmouth, I think people know me as a coach and respect me as a coach. And if he's going to yap about that, that's a little unclassy for me.
Calls him a clown before game seven tonight. There will be a handshake.
I will say, Jerry Gallant, like he's a large man.
He's tough as nails.
Like he's old school.
Go back and look at his fight sheet throughout his career.
But he's got the little bit of Pat Quinn in him with the giant.
Speaking of
handshakes, on the
if
hand.
You see Craig Berube after they beat out Winnipeg, he just walked off. He wasn't ready. He didn't even. He just was walking to the dressing room. They had to pull him back.
Really?
Yeah.
Forgot to go and talk to him.
Yeah, he was like, oh, you know how they just wheel off right into the locker room? He was gone. They had to call him back to shake hands.
He was probably so jacked.
Yeah, exactly. You win, you're feeling it.
Your emotion takes over, but I could see...
Tonight will get testy, because Peter DeBoer will yap himself. Like, he'll get in there and...
Listen, I like...
I don't think they're going to come to blows post-game, but...
I think when it's over, you can let sportsmanship take over and say, hey, you know, congratulations. I don't think it's...
I don't know if it will. There have been examples of coaches that are like, I'm not shaking that guy's hand.
Yeah, but Bedard and Avery... Remember when them and the handshake line and all of that?
Yep, for sure. Anyway, game five tonight, Raptors Magic down at Scotiabank. So the Maple Leaf Square, it's going to be a double shot again. Raptors fan, Maple Leaf fans, all going to be in attendance. The Blue Jays are playing down at the Rogers Center tonight. Kevin Pillar is already back in town. So Josh Lewenberg will help us tee up game five tonight. Ray Ferraro coming up from San Jose. He's calling that game. He'll join us at 5:05. Joe Bowen at 6:05, live from TD Garden. We're teeing up the game all afternoon. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Leafs Bruins game 7, puck drop at 7 p.m. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Big night in Toronto, big playoff night in Toronto. The Maple Leafs in Boston taking on the Bruins. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30. And the Raptors are playing tonight, game 5 against the Orlando Magic down at Scotiabank. You can watch that on TSN. Remember to head over to Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queen's Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. It's a Tuesday night. The weather has not been great. You know, it was a beautiful morning, early afternoon, and then
it
turned.
It's like a monsoon this afternoon.
It got ugly around 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Very ugly.
It's supposed to be nice the rest of the week, though, isn't it?
That's my understanding.
A little sprinkle this weekend. So
that's my understanding.
Let's double down on it.
The mood in downtown Toronto, it's a powder keg tonight. Because I feel good about the Raptors. Like, I know I've said that a million times over the past week and a half, but I can't imagine Orlando is happy to be here. Like, I think they're like, are we serious? We had to fly back up here to get smoked in game five.
Right.
Like, Philly's going to wrap up their series against Brooklyn tonight. Boston's already through. Milwaukee's through. You know, it's like this preliminary round. It's like an exhibition round.
So you think it's just...
It's
foregone conclusion to
feels that way.
It's a reward for the teams that made it in the lower seeds for not being that awful.
Right. You get a couple of home dates. You get to go have a little bit of a party. It's something you can build off.
You're ultimately going to get crushed and then see you later.
Yeah. Like the NBA and the NHL could not be any polar opposite.
No, there's no Columbus, Tampa.
There's no Colorado, Calgary. There's no Stars, Nashville. It just doesn't happen. There's the top four seeds are through, and they're going to lose two games combined in the East.
And that's predictable.
If Carolina, San Jose, and Toronto win game 7, I officially go 0-for in the first round.
But I think over. Most. I think a lot of people. I mean, brackets have been busted. I know there's some people that. I said this the other day. A few heroes have sent me their brackets and
whatever.
It's great. I'm happy for you because you know you were voting with your. Like
you're well, it's on a your gamble. Team. You're rolling the dice and you're like, I'll take Columbus because right. nobody else will. Good for you. You didn't actually believe it was going
to
happen.
Right. Like I would love to see, like, I think the NHL tracks it on their website, like that actual like bracket that you have to
when did this become a thing in the NHL?
A couple
calling
of years
it a
ago.
Bracket. Like I've never heard that.
A couple now years ago, I remember
every day
having
I hear
to do,
someone talking about their bracket.
When I was on the NHL Network, we would have
but
to
the
do
playoff picks as
yeah.
a bracket.
I've never heard it called bracket.
I've known it for like 4 or 5 years.
Hmm. Like the NHL came out with it, where they post the sheet and
yeah, and it's
well,
kind
yeah.
of
I've
but
never,
it's on
not
just on the it could be an American
our,
thing.
It's
American.
A well, it's March Madness. Like that's what it is. Yeah. College basketball. You fill out your bracket.
But that's what we were like on the NHL Network. I knew we had to do. Segments on it where you choose your bracket. You actually have to, like, I had to join and it was publicized. Here's Jamie McLennan from the NHL Network, his bracket.
Like, are people gambling on this? Like, is there a pool where you get in?
I think there is, like, a prize if somebody picks a winner and that. I believe there is a prize. I just know, I think the 1 year I was close. Like, I may have picked somebody from out west that made it to the finals. You know, last year, yeah. I think I did actually pick Washington. But I had
saying,
no idea how it happened. Like, everyone else I got wrong, all of a sudden Washington's there.
I'm not saying I don't like it or support it.
But just when did it
I'm
come
just saying,
about?
I don't remember growing up being like, oh, I got to fill up my Stanley Cup
so.
Playoff bracket.
I think it's probably
I've never
been
heard of it before.
It may be longer, but in my mind, I think it's been the last 5 or 6 years. I'm sure it's a lot longer.
Like, you're in pools and you take individual players.
Right.
But I've never filled one out.
Yeah,
I've never been like, oh, who am I going to take in a 2-3 bracket?
I was forced to,
you know, never
do that
done that
a few years ago.
You were forced at gunpoint.
I get forced in a lot of things when we're.
My understanding is on SportsCenter, you guys are making your predictions for the game tonight.
No, on TH.
And oh, on that hockey.
It won't live very long because it only just goes up to the game.
I guess.
Unless you like pick the winner, then they may trot it out later, but. I went opposite George just so that I picked everything wrong so far, so I'm went opposite George.
I think it's a pretty smart play.
Thought so.
Game 5 tonight, Raptors Magic. You can watch it on TSN down at Scotiabank. Here's Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter. Is it a little bit too cocky, Josh, for me to say that I feel like Orlando's almost rattled that they had to fly back to Toronto to play this game?
I'm a little bit torn, Brian, because part of me is thinking when is anything ever easy with this team? Like, they've had problems closing out even these first round series that they should win before. And the other half of my brain is just hearing the voice of Nick Nurse yesterday, because somebody asked him that question. What about the past, all the issues that this team has had closing out before? And he made a good and very valid point that history belongs to the organization, the franchise, not this Raptors team. Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, Marc Gasol, like, they don't care about any of that in the same way they didn't care about the game one losses, even though that history did repeat itself. So I don't know. I think this is a game that they should win. You always have that feeling in the pit of your stomach if you're a Raptors fan, because they've been here so many times before. And I truly think as different as this Raptors team is, they're still going to have to rewrite that history. They're still going to have to prove themselves before fans will be able to get over what's happened in the past before. But I think these last three games were a big step in that, because we said it going into this series. Obviously, the expectation is that the Raptors would win this series and still will win this series, but they've got to do it in a convincing way if people, fans, people around the league are going to have any reason to feel confident going into the much tougher challenges that lie ahead.
Putting Kawhi aside, of the new guys, the two bigger ones, the impact guys, the starters, who do you think has had more of an impact through four games, Marc Gasol or Danny Green?
Marc Gasol, without question. I mean, outside of Kawhi and maybe Pascal Siakam, I'm not sure that there's a player in this series on either team that has had a bigger impact than Marc Gasol. And, I mean, put the stats aside, which is usually the case for Gasol. He's like a 7-foot Kyle Lowry in that way. Just the things that he does, the small, subtle things that he does to impact winning, they're incredible. And this is the time of the year when those things matter most and are most evident, especially, I mean, Orlando is one of the few arenas left where they still sit the media on the court. We were just baseline behind the bucket watching Orlando, I guess, play offensively on our end in the first half of games 3 and 4. And just watching specifically Gasol in that matchup against Vucevic, the way that he would change shots without even getting off the ground a lot of the time, because he's not a high flyer. He's not going to beat you with the quickness and athleticism. He's just such a smart player. The positioning, the little ways that he finds an advantage on each play, whether he's diving at loose balls at seven feet or poking away a loose ball. He's had a huge impact on this series defensively against the Magic's best player, who has looked anything but their best player in this series. So I think he's been huge here, and assuming that the Raptors move on and assuming they face Philadelphia in round two, I think he's going to be one of, if not the most important players in that series too, going up against Joel Embiid.
Not shockingly, the outcome of the game generally determines how people feel about the officiating from that game. Game one, Raptors fans hate the refs, bogus non-calls or bogus calls. I know Nurse has been chipping away to get Kawhi some more calls, and I think he deserves it considering his stature in the game. But for the most part, I don't think it's been a real big talking point. I haven't had an issue with the officiating. How have you felt about it?
Well, the officiating in game two and three I thought was highly questionable, and you're right. People don't talk about it as much because the Raptors won those games, and I think it's a credit to the Raptors even more so winning those games despite the fact that there was a massive foul disparity, so big in fact that the Magic had attempted 67 free throws through games 2 and 3, the Raptors just 41, which seems crazy considering, one, how much the Raptors played the Magic in those games. Generally, the more experienced team and the team that is playing harder and playing better is the team that gets the benefit of the doubt with the whistles. That wasn't the case. And then also, as you mentioned, you've got Kawhi. It's not like this Raptors team is settling for jumpers and avoiding contact, just shooting threes. I mean, they shoot a lot of threes, but they also have Kawhi and Pascal Siakam, two players who are among the league leaders in terms of getting to the basket and driving and taking contact. Yet they weren't getting the calls up until game four. Kawhi had taken just 13 free throws. That's the same amount as Terrence Ross, who's mostly shooting threes for Orlando, and I'm not sure I remember him getting to the line at all with the Raptors in the playoffs in his years here. So I think that was sort of the emphasis for the Raptors going into game four, is to play through the noise, play through the calls or lack thereof, play through the hits. And credit to Nick Nurse, who, even in his first year as an NBA head coach, has already mastered the art of criticizing the officials without actually criticizing the officials. He made a number of references to the foul disparity, to what I just mentioned with Kawhi getting to the rim as much as he does. And then, sure enough, the calls went their way in game four. So I think the NBA is starting to notice as well how strange the whistle was in games 2 and 3.
Josh, give me the real deal here. Danny Green said you got to have your best effort because they're going to be fighting for their lives. What's it going to take to take the will out of this group, crush them in the first quarter, and then it's game over and get on with it? Or what's the deal here? Do you expect Orlando to be fighting for their life?
I do, in the sense that they're a team that plays hard, that, I mean, to their credit, even in the games, the last two, where they've been pretty one-sided outside of the initial punch that the Magic threw in the first quarter of game four, they've hung around. But I just think we're seeing this play out now. There's such a massive disparity in talent in this series. Orlando, they've gotten, I think, everything they can out of their personnel, and that's a credit to Steve Clifford, who I think is a fantastic head coach. But the Raptors are not only a much better team, but they're starting to play like it now. And Nurse said this yesterday, is they were ticked off after that game one loss. To me, in game one, they looked like a team that came out, realized that exact same thing that I just said, that they're the talented team, the more talented team, and that should carry them through. It didn't, and ever since then, they've been playing as well as I've seen them, especially on the defensive end. And that stuff, as you guys know, that's effort more than anything else. They've got a ton of talent on the defensive end. They've got the resumes to prove it. Gasol and Kawhi, both former defensive players of the year. Danny Green made an all-NBA defensive team and might make one again this year. Kyle Lowry generally is among the league leaders in charges. Pascal Siakam has all that length. So we knew that they were capable, but over the last three games, like, I've never seen them put together maybe not 48-minute defensive efforts, but like 42, 45. They're playing most of the game as hard as I've seen them defensively, and that's been the difference. So to answer your question, if they do that again today, I mean, defensively, when they're playing like that, this Magic team simply doesn't have the offensive firepower to be able to beat a Raptors team playing that well defensively.
Game 5 tonight. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, talk to you soon, guys.
Josh Lewenberg, Game 5 Magic Raptors on TSN.
You are tonight. Battling. You're fighting through it.
I'm trying to, yeah.
Your nose is sweating. You've got the Rene Rencourt sweat nose.
I am. I'm sweating profusely.
You think that he's going to show
I've never
up?
Seen sweat. Like, you know when like a moose gets after some wings and their upper lip starts sweating?
I love how on TSN4 they zoom in on my face while you're asking that. I just look so uncomfortable.
Just bulbous.
I've never seen like you have sweat on your mustache.
I'm not feeling well, dude. I'm not lying. This is my flu
dude,
game.
I'm telling you, it's because of your kid. Your
I don't
kid
know what
goes
it is.
To daycare. And all those kids with snotty noses and colds.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's my nephews, too. Like, all weekend, I saw all my nephews, all my nieces, everyone.
Yeah.
And it's like just a matter of time before I go down for the count.
Steph was complaining about being sick, too.
I heard that. Although she said, like, I didn't even know that. Well, I knew that medicine can expire, but I've never been in a position to take it when it's expired.
I'm shocked being around you. I've never seen people that are more sick than all of you people. Steph, you guys I'm came home from the Bahamas.
I'm fine. Well, Steph, that was Steph.
You like, had, I don't know you what they had were like doing. The flu twice in like a month.
They were Harry licking done. Toilet seats or something down. I don't know what the hell they were doing. They brought
know.
It into the house.
When we were in Vegas, you were under the weather.
There's nothing I could do. I'm around
you.
A bunch
I'm
of germy kids.
Anything, but that's the thing. We got our kids. Exactly.
Like that's
but
the
I'm
problem.
Here.
You put germy kids into a situation. Public schooling, all of that, they come home with. Who knows what they come home with? They don't wash their hands, and they're hacking and coughing right in your face.
People are just zooming in on my face and sending pictures to me. Just struggling. This is more impressive than Game 5 NBA Finals in 97.
I will say it's a
the
little
Jordan
hot
The Jordan flu
in here.
Game. It's so hot in here.
Like, I don't know why the lights
no
are on.
No way, dude.
It's so
I
hot
know
in
you're
here.
Sick because I'm the fat one out of this group, and I'm usually boiling hot. It's totally comfortable.
It's way too hot.
I've got a
in
lather
here.
On. It's hot.
There you
no.
go.
I would
I
be
am literally sweating,
sweating my balls off, and I'm not.
All right.
I'm not.
Race coming up in about 20 minutes. Confirm or deny
yes.
coming up later this afternoon. What's at stake for the fans, the players, the coaches, the management? We'll touch on that next. All right. Ray will join us in about 15 minutes. He's in San Jose. I had a Game 7 tonight. Sharks, Golden Knights. So we'll tee that up and, of course, tee up Game 7 between the Leafs and the Bruins tonight. And they can actually treat this like a Game 7, which I love. Now's the time. Use the cliche all day.
Yeah, we're going to treat it like a Game 7.
Treat it like
seven.
A Game 7 tonight. We're going to go around the table here. What's at stake for both fan bases, both players, and both coaches slash GMs.
Okay.
So we've all kind of picked out of a hat here. I'm going to do the fans. Oh, you'll do the players. Noodles, you'll do coaches and GMs.
Yeah.
Who wants to kickstart the party?
I'll do
Go
the,
ahead.
I'll do the players, and I think what's at stake is their legacy. These players, John Tavares is making big-time cake. Mitch Marner is going to get paid. Auston Matthews is getting paid. Do they want the legacy of regular season? I think Tree Living said it best. Regular season is when you get paid. The playoffs is where you make your legacy. So what these Toronto Maple Leafs, do they want to be the guys that just have great regular seasons, or do they want to be the guys that take the next step and get it done in the playoffs? They have that opportunity tonight because you know how difficult it is. You know, Jamie's talked about it. Who knows what happens next year? Freddie Anderson might be hurt. This guy might be hurt. They have an opportunity to take that next step. You want to be guys that make a ton of cash and score 40 goals during the season, get 90 points. Nobody cares about that anymore. They got one game to prove that they're all about the playoffs going forward. And for the Bruins, their window could be kind of running out. So they've got to be thinking, we got to get one for Bergeron here or Chara, because who knows when that window is going to close for them. Damn, that was...
Love it. Thanks.
A little over 2 minutes.
Noodles?
I'm going to go with the... With the Leafs side, obviously, if it doesn't go well for the Leafs, everyone's going to shine a light on Babcock and his stubbornness with the lineup and, you know, rolling the goat out, all those situations, Austin Matthews, ice time.
Special teams.
Special teams. There's just going to be so many things. Can Babcock get out of a first round? The light will be shined on. With Kyle, it'll be a scenario just like we talked about. This is a window. Why didn't you double down? Look what Kekalainen did in Columbus. You've got nothing but assets and players to go out and get the
team over.
Yeah, the team over the hump.
The top.
And I think they'll shine a light on that. In Boston, it's about the window shrinking. So the manager, he went out and got Coyle. He got Johansson. He's trying to help out. So it's just, to me, it's a 2 or 3 year window for that core group because of Chara, because of Bergeron, because of Krejci. So that's their legacy. And Bruce Cassidy, it's the same thing. If he doesn't make the right moves, they'll say he was out coached. Because he actually admitted in game one, he said he didn't have the right adjustments.
Right. Yep, for sure. Okay, I'll take a look at what's at stake here for the fans.
Yep.
Starting with the Bruins. I can't believe this is a thing, but it is. They have the ability to keep the Grand Slam alive. The Patriots won the Super Bowl. The Red Sox won the World Series. The Celtics are through to the second round. If the Bruins get through, they might have a chance at a Grand Slam in terms of the Big Four titles, which is ridiculous. I think this is truly the last chance of glory for this core. I really do. Because I don't think Tampa does it again next year the way that they did. Chara, he's 42. At some point, he's going to just bail out. Bergeron's older. Krejci's in his 30s. Marchand's in his 30s. Rask is a little bit shaky at 33, I believe. And the Bruins, their fan base, they have the ability here tonight with a win to continue to own the Maple Leafs, but also just own the Canadian sports scene. You know, the Habs didn't even make the playoffs. That's a huge rival for them. They knock out the Leafs again. The Leafs are the only Canadian team left. Boston can say, move it along, and that's what's at stake for the Bruins fans. For Maple Leaf fans, what is at stake tonight is a chance to celebrate a hockey game as opposed to a signing, a draft pick, a hiring, or a lottery combination. There's been some great games in the regular season, some great playoff games over the past few years. But realistically, the biggest moments have been John Tavares signing, them winning the Matthews lottery, them drafting Mitch Marner, them hiring Mike Babcock. Those have been the big moments that people have really remembered. Stop being an off-season team, so to speak. That's what's at stake for Maple Leaf fans tonight. They can gloat. They can get loud. Leaf fans can be obnoxious, but they've really had to shut up for 15 years because their team hasn't given them any opportunities or any ammo. You can finally get a win. You'll be the only Canadian team still playing, and you're exercising the demons against the Boston Bruins. Every Leaf fan has multiple Bruin fan buddies. I've got them. Oh, I'm sure you've got them. Noodles, I'm sure you know buddies who are fans of every single team.
Absolutely.
And I think most importantly, for Leaf fans tonight, it's an opportunity. What's at stake is an opportunity to truly believe this core is different than the previous cores. Truly separate yourself from Kessel, Phaneuf, and others back in 2013. The latter years of Sundin and the other guys who kind of hung over post lockout, so to speak.
This combination, Tavares, Marner, Matthews.
Matthews, Freddie, Riley, prove and have belief in this core and that they're actually different.
A recipe for success.
There you go. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. Confirm or deny at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.